Unmanned aerial vehicles, drones, as most of us know them, have been around a long time. The first true remote-controlled aircraft were developed a century ago during World War I. Today, drones have evolved from reconnaissance patrols to recreational pastimes. The FAA has recently published new standards for hobbyists and commercial drone operators. The rules don't take effect until August, but they'll supersede countless local ordinances established across the country, including cities like East Lansing and DeWitt. Current State's Kevin Lavery joins me now with more. Kevin, what's in the new rules exactly?
Mark, like a lot of federal regulations, there's a lot of minutia, which I won't bore our audience with. The rules do deal with things like a drone's maximum weight and altitude at which an operator can fly, things like that. To learn more, though, I met with Ryan Lauderette, who owns Capital Drones in Grand Ledge. Ryan and I met about a year ago for a previous story I did on drones. This time we went to Crego Park in Lansing to test out his newest drone. And so I asked Ryan why it's been so challenging determining who gets to use the airspace above our heads and how.
And that's always been the question. The FAA has been behind the eight ball on this, whereas other countries have put forward regulations in quite short period of time. The CAA, the Canadian counterpart to the FAA, has had drone regulations for both hobbyists and for commercial operators for more than a year. So I think it's been a lagging of heels on the part of the FAA, and they're just now getting around to it, unfortunately.
There's a couple of municipalities in mid-Michigan that do have their own ordinances that govern drone use. East Lansing is one, DeWitt is another, as an example. To be safe, we decided to go to the city of Lansing and not East Lansing to do this drone flight today, because there are still some concerns about the language of the ordinance in East Lansing. Does the East Lansing Ordinance mesh with what the FAA has put out?
The East Lansing Ordinance basically regulates such that they do not allow hobbyists to fly. They only allow commercial operators to fly under certain conditions. And in both cases, they are trying to preempt federal law. I've made the decision that I will not fly in East Lansing. Not because I don't think that it's legal for me to do so, but I'm not willing to fight the court battle that would have to take place in order to prove my innocence.
So if you were doing a gig for a particular client, that would be all well and good if you were in East Lansing, but you couldn't do that just for fun, you're saying?
To an extent. So even if you were doing it commercially in East Lansing, what they would still require is particular approval from the FAA, which obviously has not yet occurred. That doesn't happen until August. So there's nothing that would prevent me from doing it with the FAA, but does prevent me from doing it with East Lansing. In addition, they have some regulations that you are not able to fly over a city-owned property or over somebody's private residency without their permission.
Well, that sounds reasonable to me. That's an expectation of privacy.
It well could be. When you think about privacy, understand that the Supreme Court has ruled on multiple occasions that there can be no expectation of privacy in a public place. So if you're sitting out on your front porch, I'm sorry, you're not in privacy. You are out in a public place. You can be seen. So if I'm flying in the air and happen to spot you with my camera, I could take a picture of you. Now, I'm not into that kind of thing. But that is possible. The other concern would be, at what point does it become a privacy concern versus a private property concern? If I'm flying at 300 feet and flying over your house, am I actually trespassing on your property? Imagine, if you will, having a Cessna airplane in the air flying at 300 feet or 500 feet and going over your property. Should you have a say-so as to whether or not that plane has overflight capability over your property?
A plane that size over my house at 500 feet, you betcha I've got a say in it.
And the FAA would say, no, you do not. The FAA, different airspaces in the United States. Here in Lansing, the majority of our airspace is Class C airspace, and that is all from the blade of grass on up. And it requires that airplanes stay above 500 feet unless they're in the approach to the airport, and they have to be in communication with the air traffic control tower. For a drone, as a hobbyist, I would have to call into the air traffic control station, let them know my intent to fly, contact the air authority as well, letting them know my intentions to fly, and I need to stay under 400 feet.
Ryan Lauterette is the owner of Capital Drones, and we're talking about the regulations that the FAA has just come out with in the last couple of weeks. They're not final until August, but they do supersede, in the eyes of the law, any local ordinances that includes cities like East Lansing and DeWitt. Why don't you fire up your room here next to the lake at Crego Park, and you can tell me what it is you're legally allowed to do with this drone.
Sure. So right now I've turned on the remote control to give us a link into the drone system. Up on the iPad that is connected, I've pulled up the application that will power the drone and allow us to control it. I'll turn on the drone. Makes noise, and it's going to adjust the camera to a level setting on the gimbal. The gimbal keeps it nice and flat, so I have a picture that's able to stick with the horizon. And then on the application, I'll actually pull up the camera so that we can see exactly what the camera sees. All right.
All systems go, Kevin.
All systems go. Let's fire it up. So I'm going to do a little bit of pre-check here to make sure that we're good to go. I'll check all my controls, forward, sides, back. Up and down, we'll spin it around one way and the other, and it looks like we have full control of the aircraft, so we can let it go. And then as it's up in the air, we can check the camera, see what it's seeing. This application will tell me how far we are away from the unit and how high it is. So right now, if I'm peeking at this, it looks as though we're only at about 80 feet or so, and we're running about 60 feet away from us.
So you've got this computer screen in front of you, Ryan, but the FAA rules also mention visual line of sight. Is that physically with your eyes, or is that also, are they talking about electronically aided devices like what you have in front of you? Do you have to physically see it with your own eyes to have control
Absolutely.
Of the drone?
So yeah, there is the requirement that you're going to have to fly line of sight and visual line of sight. So right now, we're not very far above the Earth, and so we can see this spotted against the blue sky. It's a white drone, and it's clearly visible. If I were to fly this quite a bit higher, and let's go ahead and we're going to get up here quite a bit. We're going to stay under 300 feet, and I'll take it in front of a cloud. We can still see the drone. There's a loss of visual quality somewhat. It does have some contrast against the cloud, but it is still white on white. And the concern is if you're going to get it up that high or further out, you're going to start to lose sight of it, know where it's at. And some people will rely on the screen as their visual cue. Here on the screen, we could see the lake. And if I'm moving around, we could see the lake move around. But when I start to tip that, I might get lost in orientation. And when I look up in the sky, I don't see it. Now I'm a potential hazard to an aircraft that's flying over.
So to get back to the local ordinance versus the federal rules, if I were a drone operator like you, living and working in East Lansing or DeWitt, in light of the new publication, what would I be most concerned about?
Well, I think, one, when this does happen at the end of August, there's also going to be another rule that comes out, and it's from Congress, and that's the FAA Reauthorization Act. In that act right now, the language stipulates that all information or all law pertaining to this act supersedes or preempts any state and local authority. And so this will automatically invalidate any ordinance that the city's put forward. And so once that takes place, East Lansing is pretty much moot.
No appeal process?
None. The federal law always trumps state and local authority, no matter what.
Do the local ordinances pretty much jive with what the FAA is saying now? Are there subtle differences? Are there glaring differences?
I think there have been. So take, for instance, DeWitt. I went to DeWitt and spoke on behalf of the drone community to try to get that ordinance thrown out. One of the things that they originally had in the ordinance was that you could not have a camera on your drone. You could not take video or pictures with your drone. And we go back to the First Amendment, especially if you're a journalist, that's a real problem. If you are not able to use your camera to take pictures or video, what's the sense of having a newspaper. You're going to write the words, but it's probably going to be helpful if you have some visual aspect to go with it. So we were able to throw that out before they passed the ordinance. But in many cases, yes, they do try as much as they can to mimic what they see as are the coming federal regulations. And I think part of the reason they were doing that is because at that time, the federal government, or the FAA, did not have regulations. So they were trying to get ahead of the game and put something in place. Now they're behind the game, or they're behind the FAA and need to drop those ordinances.
And I know there are special provisions if you're law enforcement or fire personnel. You can't interfere with a police investigation or a traffic accident scene if you're a drone flyer. But who polices law enforcement? I know that sounds like a baited question, but is it up to people like you in the industry to also be sure that the authorities who have, for lack of a better word, the authority to fly drones for those purposes, are also abiding by the law?
Yeah, actually, I think when you're talking about accident investigation, a crime scene, a fire, I think most in the drone community will say that it's important for a drone to be there, not just as you're definitely not looking to harass anybody, but you're documenting it, citizen journalism. But I think more so is that we can be so much more helpful than people realize. In the case of an accident, you're going to be able to not only take a picture or video of the aftermath, but you might get a sense of the layout, the topography. I can do mapping with the drone that then could be provided to the incident manager that helps them in that investigation. Similarly, with fire, for example, if a fireman arrives to a scene of a fire, they have to do a 360 walk around of that property before they can get started with the firefighting efforts. Well, that might be okay if you're a single-family dwelling, but what happens when you're a large distribution center? That could take a long time. With a drone, I can get it up in the air. This drone in particular can fly at about 50 miles an hour. I can circumnavigate a distribution center in a heartbeat and then leave it in the air to help the incident manager navigate where their best use of assets are. I can track where the firemen are at any time and be able to suggest to the fire personnel, hey, it looks like this area is flaring up. You want to take a look at the screen? So, the drone community is really supportive of that idea of use for emergency situations.
Have you ever been called upon to do that?
I have made offers to do that. I have not yet been taken up on those offers, but I hope to eventually.
Maybe the climate will change to where that is seen as mainstream, normal, needed, and appreciated.
Absolutely. That's the hope. You know, as I look at it, some of the things that these things can do are amazing. Search and rescue. I can cover a wide area of space in a short period of time, be able to find something. I know that I have some drone community friends that have actually saved lives with drones. One case in particular, flying down in Texas during the flooding, he was able to spot a vehicle that had been taken by some water, and he was just flying as a hobbyist, checking things out. He was then able to put a tactical flashlight on the unit and direct the fast water rescue team to the truck. 2 hours later, they called him and said, hey, we have a mobile home that's being inundated with water. We can't get to him. Can you fly a rope over to him? And sure enough, he tied the rope to his drone, flew it over to the homeowners, and they were able to be safely evacuated.
How about we bring your drone back in for a landing, Ryan? We'll get a little sound of that. We've been talking with Ryan Lauderette, the owner of Capital Drones, about the new regulations from the FAA that actually take effect in August. They were just published a couple of weeks ago, and how they will be superseding local ordinances such as those that are already in effect in East Lansing and DeWitt, among other places across the country. Ryan, thanks for the explanation and for a great day of drone flying.
And thank you, Kevin, for inviting me out exactly about 1 year later, I think.
We have to do this more often than just 1 year.
Well, definitely.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.